Most parents warn their children to stay away from alcohol and drugs, and most children heed their parents' warning. However, some children may be more vulnerable than others to drug use and addiction.
Today on Real Family Talk, we're helping parents identify a number of risk factors that increase their child's vulnerability to addiction and also identify ways to protect them. Join us. Susan Cromwell and Chad Stewart know firsthand the consequences of adolescent substance abuse. Many of you know Susan Cromwell from Let's Pray right here on the Hope Channel. And Chad Stewart is pastor of a large church in the Washington, D.C. metro area and also a regular contributor on the Hope Channel.
And today, we're thankful that both Susan and Pastor Chad are joining us to help us tackle this important topic. Susan, tell us what attracted you to take a risky option in your youth.
Well, you know, that's an excellent question, and I'm sure it's different for everyone. For me, I'd mentioned being a people pleaser, and I always wanted approval. I definitely wanted approval from my siblings, and so some of the very first curiosities were with them. But what really got me was when I realized in my early 20s the relief from the terrible anxiety that alcohol provided. It's like a warm blanket would come over me and I could decompress for the first time in my life. And I didn't realize how much anxiety I had until it started to go away. And so I would say relief, honestly, was one of the things that drove me and attracted me to that. I was always looking, I just wanted to feel better.
So would you say that that relief was really a pseudo relief because it dulled your emotions and you felt less?
Yes, sir. And everything after that, it would just fester and rot. So at whatever point you begin either experiencing abuse or abusing a substance, you stop maturing in that place. And it's always there afterwards, festering and rotting and actually getting bigger and worse. So the longer we wait, the longer I waited, the angrier and more bitter and more scared and sad and brokenhearted I became. I was just too afraid to let Jesus into that place. I thought for sure it was going to destroy me, that I would never make it out the other side of all of those emotions. But it is not the truth. Our Jesus, he's always the best option. Let him heal your heart. It's just so good to us.
Yeah.
Pastor Chad, what is your story?
I would say my story is all about access, you know, and context. I was around alcohol and drugs and smoking at a young age because of extended family members, not my immediate family, but extended family members. When I smoked for the first time, I was with a girl that I liked and she had a cigarette and she offered it to me and that's how I smoked for the first time. I think too, when I got more what I would call addicted, it would be that some things that happened about a year or so after I had my first drink, in which some things happened in my life in which I was not emotionally at a place where I could deal with it or handle it. And drugs were introduced to me right in that same time frame, I would say, or near there. And it became just easier to be high every day and to deal with things that way. I actually wasn't someone that went to a lot of parties and got high. I was oftentimes by myself in my room, and I had access to because I had a friend. We had a deal that he was basically had unlimited money resources, and the deal was that he would buy and I would hold, and if we ever got caught, it was on me. And that happened one time. Mm-hmm. and uh, Oh, they're Chads. Yeah, yeah.
So did you receive any strong warnings from your parents, school or church against alcohol or other illicit drugs, either one of you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I went to a school out in California, Adventist school, and they had the people come in. We had the DARE program and the Just Say No. And the high school kids would come with their DARE shirts and talk to the elementary kids. And we had a local guy that used to come every year. His name was Clifford, I think. Nice guy, but would come every year and talk about the dangers of drugs and alcohol. I could see it in my own family. I had an uncle that was in prison for a drunk driving accident. You know, so I mean, so I had definitely people that encouraged me to not do these things, but
none of it mattered.
Yeah, so that's what's really the focus of this topic is we're talking about how our kids are vulnerable to drug abuse. And, you know, you're mentioning the fact that there was easy access. So even though there were warnings, even though you would attend the DARE program, or as Susan said, you know, she knew about Jesus. And but you both still turned to substances, to drugs, to soothe your hurt and your pain. What
I mean, I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. So, I mean, even though I knew about Jesus, and I wouldn't say that I would say we were nominal Christians, nominal Adventists in many ways. My dad worked for the Adventist denomination and we went to a church, you know, but we were come and go kind of church, in during the first hymn and out during the last hymn type of Christians, I think. So we had all that, but I think if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, it's very easy to seek help in other places. So, and that's what I did.
So going to church is not enough. You know, that's just on the outside. You need to have a personal walk, a personal experience with Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, most people and adults and children who begin using drugs usually believe they won't get hooked. Did you think that you wouldn't get hooked?
I'll tell you, when I first, the second time I went to intensive outpatient, he told me that alcohol was my primary. I didn't believe him. It took me a few minutes of good talking to realize it. So the entire time I was abusing alcohol, I did not think I was abusing alcohol. The narcotics, I knew that I should not be doing them. And I knew that I was hooked and struggling. I just didn't realize what was opening that gateway to the extra poor choices I was making was alcohol. It's really difficult because everyone's going to be different. Sometimes deterring can be enough when the right emotional coping or responses or familial support is in place. And like I said previously, having Jesus in my life as a child gave me something to go back to, but no, it did not prevent it because my pain outweighed my experience with Jesus and my ability to trust him because of traumas that I had superimposed over his character, thinking that I just could not trust him because I had not seen it. And so I knew he loved me. And I remember a counselor, she was also my prayer minister, saying, Susan, you need to forgive the Lord. And I said, for what? He is perfect. I know that he hasn't done anything wrong. She said, but it didn't stop you from judging him for it anyway.
Wow.
And so I was dealing with having judged the Lord regardless of whether he had actually done something or not. And I think that that's vital. And I'd superimpose.
Hold that point, Susan. We're going to get back to that because this is, you know, we need to talk more about how people can go back to a place of finding Jesus. After a short break, we'll talk more with Susan and Pastor Chad. Stay with us. Welcome back. The American Academy of Pediatrics state that heredity appears to play a large role in determining a person's susceptibility to drug and alcohol abuse. For instance, the rate of alcoholism among sons of alcoholic parents is 4 to 5 times higher than among children of non-alcoholics. If there is a history of substance abuse in your family, they recommend that you tell your child this situation.
Of course, this is a very delicate conversation and should be handled with sensitivity, and it should be age appropriate. Chad, what do you recommend to parents where there has been a history of substance abuse, either with themselves or other family members?
You know, my thing would be, as the American College of Pediatrics recommends, that there's conversations that are had, and the conversations are done. I think sometimes the best conversation should happen just in the everyday flow of life, rather than sit down and tell this and direct it. You know, I think more came out of the dialogue as we're driving in the car and just conversing going on.
I love those car dialogues.
Yeah. I think one of the life-changing moments for me was that when my dad, when we had moved to Ohio and I was struggling with that, and he said, you know, I had this huge fight with my mom. He took me out of the house to kind of calm me down. We came back, everyone was asleep, and I was in the bathroom brushing my teeth, and my dad came by and he said, I love you. You know, I'm proud of you. And I just lost it. I said, Dad, don't be proud of me. I've been doing this, I've been doing that. And his response was, I know. And just like that little, I mean, that's a short conversation, just him knowing that he was aware of what I was going through, and then also knowing some of his history, was a powerful moment for me. It's one of the most powerful moments I think that I ever had with my dad. And that there was grace also there. He loved me, he was proud of me, in spite of those things. I think helping kids understand that this is not just bad, but we're gonna love you, we're gonna care for you no matter what. I think there have to be boundaries. You don't just let your kid run all over and do whatever they want and say, hey, that's good, we're giving you approval of that. But dialogue in such a way that it doesn't seem like this will risk your relationship with them or anything of that
right.
nature.
Right, so I hear you saying that it shouldn't just be you're going to sit your kids down and say, okay, you know, when I was a kid, I did XYZ. It comes out more organically as you're watching something or reading something or just having a dialogue with your child about how their day went.
And always, like, if you relate something, I think sharing that, I mean, when I share with my boys, I'll say things like, man, I did some stupid things or something, but I'll say, even if they hear a funny story from me about something, or I'll have some of my high school friends around, they'll tell a story and my kids will look at me like, what? And later I'll say, but you know, man, it broke Jesus' heart. And it breaks my heart that it broke Jesus' heart. So I try to relate it so that it's not just, you know, sometimes it can be over glorified too.
Yes. And that's exactly what they say, that you should be honest with your kids, but you shouldn't glamorize your past, like, oh, you know, this was a great thing. You know, I was a jock, or you know, I was the pretty girl in school that did this. But I want to get back to where we left off with Season, because now you both keep bringing it back to Jesus. So, Season, let's go back to that, and Chad, you can jump in as well, because how does a young person go from this dark place that in some ways is kind of soothing your soul? You know, you're receiving some type of balm, some type of salve, some type of help for what you're going through. But at the same time, how do you make that leap to trusting Jesus?
Well, I really feel like sometimes the Lord will allow the pressure and the pain and the natural consequences of our choices out of free will to become so heavy that it brings us to a place of desperation for him. So instead of me being desperate for the drugs and alcohol, he allowed me to be aware that it was not actually working and it was actually destroying me. So I had to choose life or death, honestly.
So it's kind of supernatural. It's a supernatural divine power then that you're saying. It would have to be.
My mother said, Season, run to Jesus. I said, Mom, I can't get there. He's going to have to come get me. And he did. It's all on him. Because I went to, like I said, intensive outpatient twice. But it wasn't until I stopped focusing on not doing drugs anymore. I just focused on Jesus. And when I am dead set to find my Lord, those things fall away. It says in the word that by beholding, we become changed. And I just... here with him. And then that was all I could do. I was hearing voices. I mean, I was cuckoo crazy. And that none of that is there anymore. None of that is there. Jesus heals to the utmost. But he, yes, my Lord saves.
Sorry.
Say again.
I was actually taking medicine for ulcer in my as a 16-year-old kid. With what was going on and everything else, mm-hmm. I was having constant stomach issues and various things, depressed, and so. But you mask it with the drugs, you mask it with other things, you mask it with relationships.
Yes.
Some people mask it with performance, as Season has talked about. But eventually, I think everybody kind of hits rock bottom. You have to hit a spot. And for me, there wasn't like, I didn't have a thought that Jesus, Season, it seems like, had this idea that Jesus loved her. Mine was the exact opposite. My friend asked mm-hmm. me, if Jesus were to come tonight, what would happen to you? And I said, I'd be lost. There's no, mm-hmm. even if, and I said, even if God did love me, it's too late for me now. So that was kind of my thought. And about 2 months later, I was in a place and I was sitting there and I leaned over to my friend and I, as this kind of Jesus conversation was going on, and I leaned over to him and I said, let's get the, and I said some words out of here. And, but we hesitated and another person got up and shared something and he made an appeal. And in that appeal, like Jesus just spoke to my heart. You've tried everything else. And
I just love that.
It was divine supernatural and it wasn't me looking for it. I didn't go into that place thinking like tonight I'm going to accept Jesus. There was none of that. I was using profanity in a church fellowship hall. Like 30 seconds before I stood up and said, I'll give my life to Christ. And ever since then, that's been.
Praise God. Praise God. This is just so powerful. I can just feel the power of your testimonies and how God can transform our hearts and change even, take you out of even the darkest place. Season and Pastor Chad, thank you so much for sharing with us today. You guys have just been given us such a powerful testimony. Next, we will share how parents can help prevent their child from experimenting with drugs. Stay with us.
Substance abuse among young people is a much bigger problem than many parents realize. 1 in 10 kids, ages 12 to 17, are current users of illicit drugs, according to a 2009 government survey.
Here's the good news. Parents can do more than they realize to help protect teens from drugs or alcohol. One key is avoiding the following simple mistakes. So we'll start with the first one, failing to set expectations.
That's right.
Failing to set expectations. And we heard from our guests earlier, Chad and Season, that they thought that parents needed to set better boundaries. They were speaking from their experience and what they thought their parents might have done a little bit better at.
Well, many times what happens is that parents want to project the best onto their kids. They want to just be in love with their children and just think the best of their children. And it's not that they shouldn't. The issue is that parents need to be realistic about the fact that they have human children, and they are not the only influences on their children. There's media, there are all kinds of things happening, the people they interact with, family members, neighbors, classmates, all kinds of other people. So they need to be able to know what's happening and set some expectations.
You know what we often say to families, trust and verify.
Trust and verify.
And yes. I think too often, sometimes we feel that our kids will feel that we're not trusting them. Right. And I've heard kids say that. I had a 14-year-old tell me recently when his mother kept asking him if he did his homework, he said, well, my mom doesn't trust me. And I said, oh, she does trust you. She's just verifying and making sure that it actually is done. And so that's very important. What's number two?
Well, it's setting a bad example. What usually happens is that parents sometimes forget that children are more influenced by what they do than what they say. So just saying, I don't want you doing that, is not enough. What is it that parents are doing? How are they behaving, especially when it comes to issues like drug abuse? If you're saying to your kids, you know, you shouldn't be drinking, you shouldn't be taking illicit drugs, but you are drinking beer and you are smoking cigarettes and you're doing stuff, you are modeling to your children what's acceptable behavior.
Yeah, and there's something else, because in the society that we live in, alcohol is an acceptable drug. And alcohol is a drug, people.
It is a
substance.
It's a mind-altering substance. And every year, thousands of people die because someone was driving under the influence and was not able to have the kind of judgment and hurt someone.
And so when people say they feel better because they drink alcohol, basically what it's doing is it's just totally numbing your senses.
That's correct.
So you can't think clearly, you can't make wise choices, and that's where the consequences come in. And too often people think, oh, it's just one beer. It's just a small glass of wine. And what we know from research is that even a half a glass of wine
could put you in the
driving under the influence.
Not to mention the fact that once you have one glass of wine, you forget.
It
calms you down or does whatever it does with you. It works on your brain so much that you begin to lose control because, as people like to say who drink, it relaxes me.
Right.
And being relaxed means that your inhibitions are gone, and now you thought you were going to drink one glass, and now you've had a second one. And if you've had a second one, it's easier to have a third one because that second one makes you forget that you only had two.
And children have poor judgment, right?
Yes.
They're not fully developed, so they don't even realize that they are even more susceptible to becoming addicted to this substance. Number three, mistake that parents should avoid: not locking the medicine cabinet or securing prescription drugs. Folks, prescription drugs right now is probably one of the leading causes or gateway drugs for your children.
That's right.
Kids are online, they're talking about their parents' medicine cabinets.
Yes, indeed.
Please put away your prescription drugs. In fact, put away all drugs, because one of the things that was shared with us earlier with Season was that when she was a small child, she actually got into like the cough syrup or something like that and had to be taken to the hospital.
That's correct.
So, you know, I know it seems so intuitive maybe, or maybe it's something that we just know we should do. Just don't take chances. Be over-vigilant about putting away prescription drugs and even over-the-counter drugs.
The other point that's important is not noticing the mood changes in your children. You know, parents are so busy doing life, going to work and coming back home and watching TV and doing their own thing, that they're not watching what their children are doing. And if you have children, once you have children in your home, you have to be watching what you're doing, what they're doing. You have to be paying attention because they might be getting into stuff that you don't want them to get into. And you are the one who is guiding their lives. And if you're not involved, if you're not paying attention, you're going to miss it.
And so simple things like if you see that your daughter is feeling a little down, don't just say, oh, you know, it's that time of the month, or, oh, she's always, that one over there, she's always down. Mm-hmm. Your child actually could be entering into some form of depression.
Yeah.
So don't overlook these moods when your child is seemingly moody.
Right.
You know?
Another point is be careful not being too judgmental. Children start believing that there isn't anything they can do right because their parents are always judging them. More than judging, it's important to have a relationship with them and not wait until they get to an age where they may start getting into stuff. Part of the conversation that we had with Chad and Season, I wanted to also underscore the fact that if you're going to have a relationship with your children, don't wait. Have that relationship as they're growing up.
Yeah.
Be close to them. Be bonded to them. So as they're growing up, you're feeling connected to them. And if they feel connected to you, they're more likely to want to listen to what you're saying to them.
Absolutely. And another mistake that parents make is not getting professional help.
Yes.
And sometimes we feel like if we get professional help. It might create a stigma for our child. Mm-hmm. It is okay to get help. Make an appointment with
because
a pediatrician.
We
always say to families,
physical,
the first place to go is to your pediatrician.
Because it actually could be something physical.
But your pediatrician is a good first stop to go to get help for your child if you suspect that something is happening.
What does that mean?
And last but not least, make your home a little heaven on earth. What does that mean?
Is that,
I mean, it
make
sounds
your
so
a happy place.
Out of this world.
Fathers,
well, what it
I love
really means
wives,
is that
wives,
make
love
your
husbands
a happy
parents,
place.
Love your children.
Fathers,
be kind, be compassionate.
I love your wives.
Nice
wives,
words
love
and
your
kind
husbands.
Words. And
parents, love your children.
Make your
be
home
kind,
a
be compassionate.
Safe place
use
so
nice words and kind words.
Out of kilter, out of balance.
Make your
and are using
a safe
or,
place
or
so that children are not out of kilter, out of balance, and are using or need to go someplace to find a way to feel secure.
Yeah.
Parenting is certainly not for the faint of heart. Talking to your child or teen about drug use is difficult. But parents, please don't bury your heads in the sand. Don't be afraid. In fact, be encouraged by the words in the Bible that state, "Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua 1:9.
That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.